Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today is March 28, 2015, and I'm blessed that you have joined me at NoBetterWay.net. My name is Rudy Zablocki. I'm just a truck driver from Bartlett, Illinois, and my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will touch your hearts tonight and draw you closer to the Lord and lead you and direct you on how you should serve Him. Amen. Tonight's show is titled, Jesus Wept. Tonight's reflection verses are from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 21 through 44. It reads, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. So this is the text. Jesus goes to Bethany after Lazarus dies. His purpose was to glorify the Father. After being dead for 4 days, Jesus would raise Lazarus from the dead. As we read the Gospel of John, we see the human side of Jesus. Even though he was sinless, we see how Jesus experienced the brokenness of the world he was living in. Jesus had family and friends, and he loved them dearly. Doing the Father's will, he waited till Lazarus died before he went to Mary and Martha and his dead friend Lazarus. We read in the Gospel of John how Jesus was impacted deeply by his friend's pain. Martha and Mary, even though their faith gave them comfort, that Jesus was the resurrection, and anyone who believes in Jesus has eternal life. Still, their hearts were broken. Lazarus was dead for 4 days already, and Jesus was impacted very much, so much that Jesus wept. It didn't say tears were streaming down his cheeks. It said Jesus wept. And the friends of Martha and Mary commented, "See how much he loved them?" So folks, this reading in the Gospel of John tells me how much Jesus loved his family, his friends, his culture. This tells me that Jesus, being the Son of God, living in the will of God, the Father, was very human too. If we dig in the Gospels, it points to Jesus and how much compassion he had for this broken world. I would like to think our Savior Jesus also has compassion for our broken world today. If he's walking with us in our brokenness, then he feels the hurt that we're going through. So let's take a little break, and after this song, we'll take some calls. There's so much to talk about.
In the morning when I arrive, in the morning when I arrive, in the morning when I arrive, give me Jesus, give me
Well, good evening, everyone. I played that song, Give Me Jesus, by Fernando Ortega. And what a awesome song. He said, you can have all this world, just give me Jesus. You know what? So many people are chasing the world, right? What's the one verse? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul, right? He's just chasing after this world, and you may have success now, but I say to anyone that if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. You can have this whole world and everything in it, but if you don't have the Son of God, the creator of the universe, you have nothing. I don't know. It seems like the last couple of weeks I've had some technical difficulties, and I'm not even sure. I did about a seven-minute intro, and I'm not even sure if it was being heard, and I apologize. So what I'm going to do to get this night started, if it wasn't coming in, my mic was giving me problems, is I have a little intro on the board, and I'm going to read that. So everyone, tonight's title of the show is Jesus Wept, and that comes from the story of Lazarus in the Gospel of John in chapter 11, actually verse 35. Jesus, during his ministry on earth, he had such a deep love for his people and his wife, his family and his friends, and they loved him dearly. And of course, his closest friends and followers, they knew that he was the Son of God, right? He had performed miracles. You know, he had healed the sick. He had cast demons out of folks, right? And here we're going to talk about Lazarus, who was one of his deep friends, his sisters Mary and Martha, and how he had died and how Jesus had raised him from the grave. So I have a little intro just to kind of update, because I don't know if you heard my intro. So I'll read that. Jesus, during his ministry on earth, had such a deep love for his people, so much so that as we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 35, it says, Jesus wept over his friend Lazarus, who had died. Jesus had looked at the folks that were mourning over Lazarus, his brother, his sisters, Martha and Mary and all the friends, and it moved Jesus so much that he wept. So my question to all of you tonight is that, don't you think Jesus, who loved his family and friends dearly while on this earth, he loves us in the same way? Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to die a brutal death on the cross for us. But our story doesn't end on Good Friday, folks. 3 days later, on Resurrection Sunday, he rose from the grave, right? Jesus defeated Satan and the death curse forever. Amen? So we've got so much to talk about, and I'll probably backtrack a little bit too and also read the reading from John 11 on Lazarus and how Jesus rose Lazarus from the grave. Okay, I've got a phone call. Let's take that call. Welcome to NoBetterWay.net. Thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good, good. Thanks for calling in, son. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing well. How's the show going so far?
Well, I don't know. I was having a little problem. I'm not sure if the people... I did a little seven-minute introduction, and I don't know if the people heard it. I don't know. Were you able to put on the show early, or are you just kind of catching up
right
now?
I kind of called straight in. So.
Okay. But, so, well,
yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it'll work out okay.
Okay, I hope so. But you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to backtrack just a little bit, and I'm going to read. I'm going to read a little bit of the Gospel of John, chapter 11, where Jesus goes to Bethany, and he goes and he raises Lazarus from the dead. So I'm just going to do a real quick backtrack here, and I'll start with chapter 11, verse 21. And it reads, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother Lazarus will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out. They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd been there, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by the time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Jesus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let them go. And so this is the reading, Dave. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone was, you know, on board. And the thing I'm talking about today, Dave, is, you just see that Jesus was, as much as he was the Son of God, right? He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He had cured people of sicknesses and blindness, and he cast out demons. Yet here I see the human side of him, Dave. I see that he saw how brokenhearted they were, and he wept with them. And I just think it's a good thing to talk about, that this Jesus, this Son of God, the one that performed miracles, also was human. He had compassion. His heart could break with us. And I was saying that just like the people, you know, back then, you know, when Lazarus died, just like those days, in the days like right now, when we're going through when we lose someone dear to us, or we're going through a hard time, that Jesus, he feels he has compassion over the, you know, what we're going through also. Amen.
Yeah, he came and experienced, you know, all suffering on this earth. I mean, he had to deal with the terrible-ish thing of a temptation in the wilderness, you know. So, you know, imagine not eating for 40 days and then being tempted during that time when your body's so weak, kind of a deal. And just suffering through that, and was able to continue to be faithful to the Lord. And then just, you know, just tiredness and just being tired from traveling all the time and just nonstop people around him asking him for help and all that. And just, you know, just obviously probably experienced a lot of tiredness from that. And he experienced betrayal from his own friends, Judas. And, you know, just then to love people and to be rejected by the ones you love so much. You came to save from sins and they reject you and kill you. And there's a lot of suffering in that. And when we love someone and lose them, I mean, it hurts. Sometimes I thought, like, you know, well, why would Jesus cry when he knows that those that are in him are going to live forever anyways? But, you know, as you know, and we all know, people, when we lose someone we love, even if we know they're in heaven with the Lord, there just is a lot of pain that comes with death. And it's pretty cool that Jesus experienced that type of loss and pain, and then could relate with us, and we know how much he loves us and cares about us, and as we're going through hard times, he cares, and he's experienced hard times and can relate with us on that. And it's pretty amazing that God would do that, you know, love us so much to experience, be willing to experience pain, suffering, and death on this earth to save us. And certainly sadness was part of that equation.
Yeah, I'm glad that we have a Savior that can understand. You know, he's not a God. He's a human. You know, he's the Son of God. He's Son of Man, and like you said, he understands pain. And I'm so glad that we have a Savior. You know, that in that way, he truly understands. I mean, Dave, what isn't it important, like, say if you have a friend or whatever, and that they can understand what you're going through, they've lived what you've gone through. I mean, it's important, you know, to have that kind of friend, and Jesus is that kind of friend.
Yeah, and, you know, some people see God as distant, see God as just someone out there somewhere who started the universe, got the clock spinning, and then just kind of stepped away. For people to realize how much God loves them, fully God, fully man, Jesus, how much he loves them, that he came to save them. And just, you know, if we think about how much people that love us in the world, and God loves us like a zillion times more, and anybody in the world that's been rejected by people and, you know, been hurt a lot by people, you know, God never forsakes his children, you know. It doesn't mean we won't go through hard times, but he never forsakes us and cares about us completely.
Yeah, what do they call that type of unconditional love? Isn't it agape love, Dave? It's that unconditional,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And that's an amazing thing, to be loved based off nothing you've done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a parent will love their child, and it's not because, you know, because the child's good at sports, or they won't love the child because, they get their slippers in the morning or something. So you just love your child because they're your child, and you care about them, and blessed to be able to have them in your life, and that's, you know, God blessed us to allow us to be in a relationship with him, and loves us and cares for us and sees us and when we're hurting, and you know, he doesn't just carelessly glance down, you know, he's hurting for us if we're hurting, and that's a great feeling to be loved
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, he's always there, right? I mean, if you can imagine, if we can always pick up that phone and he'll be there to, you know, we could pray to him. He'll listen to us. He'll hear our sorrows. He'll hear our pain, right?
He's
always there. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. And,
Yeah, I mean, God could have created the world however he wanted. He could have, dealt with us however he wanted, and he could have gave us what we deserved, and that wouldn't work out very well for us. But, he just relates to us as a heavenly father, and, just the idea of a loving parent. He's our leader, obviously. He's our Lord. We follow him. But there's that familial aspect of it where it's like he adopts us as his children and loves us as a great father and his perfect father.
I was just thinking of how it talks about we have an inheritance. We are his inheritance, and one day our inheritance awaits us in heaven. And like you said, we don't deserve it, but yet we've got this wonderful blessing. I mean, we receive blessings here on earth, but eventually the ultimate eternal blessing will be our inheritance in heaven. And we can't possibly comprehend, I mean, everyone that we know, that we love, that, they're with the Lord now, what they're seeing and doing with the Lord, we can't even comprehend, it's beyond our human minds. Amen?
Yeah, it's like, you think about Jesus' great love and how it's unconditional. I mean, he knew that his people were going to reject him, in Jerusalem. He mourns for Jerusalem, who's going to reject him, and just saddens him, and that's probably so sad to the Lord to know that there are just millions and millions of people that are rejecting him, his love, and rejecting the truth that he died for them out of his love for them, choosing to believe otherwise or choosing to not submit their life to God and instead just want to do what they want to do. And God knows that that's ends terribly for them and that, grieves him. And that's just another angle of his love, where it's not just, he mourns with those. He mourns and he could be sad for us when we're sad and also be sad for those who are rejecting him. And I pray if there's anyone out there to recognize that God is a father with open arms. And it's, it's not about being a great person. You don't have to become this great person to give your life to Christ. All you have to do is admit that you're not a great person, admit that you're a sinner, admit that you failed God by sinning, disobeying his commandments in the Bible, and believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and confess your faith to the world and live for him. And he's a loving father with open arms ready to embrace you with that love, and you see the tenderness of his heart when he weeps over death, and it's a cool thing. And I pray anyone listening that's not giving their life to Christ will be able to experience that.
And he doesn't make it hard. I mean, sometimes people have hard hearts. But the salvation to come to Christ, God has made it simple. I mean, we're all sinners, and you come to him with a repentant heart. You know you're a sinner. You're sorry for your sins. Just like the story of the prodigal son, Dave. The son had gone away. He had spent his fortunes. He ignored the love of his father. He ran away from it to live a sinful life, but yet, just like the prodigal son, who the father took him back, right, embraced him, took him back into his family, the Lord waits for anyone out there that, you know, that right now on their mind, they want to come back to God. Say, you know, he's waiting for you with open arms. Come back. You know, you have a repentant heart. You're sorry for your sins. And, you know, accept Jesus as your Savior and follow him the rest of your life, right? And live a life, you know, following him and his will. And that'll be the best decision you ever made. Amen?
Yeah, the prodigal son thought, you know, well, I'm too scrambled. You know, he's not going to take me back, but at least, you know, I can come back and be a servant and just work in the field for him or something. You know, maybe he'll be nice enough to let me do that, but I know I'm not good enough to be his child anymore. And, God gives a full adoption as children to those who believe in Jesus, and you don't have to wait until you have your whole act together. You know, you do have to admit you're a sinner and be willing to repent of those sins. It is a sacrifice of your old lifestyle. You have to be ready to do that, but you don't have to be perfect. You just have to tell God you want to turn away from your sinful lifestyle and live for him and allow him to transform you. And it's freeing because it's done, you know. The truth is freeing because it doesn't depend on you, you know. God's the one that has the power to save you, and God has the power to change you. You just have to be obedient to give him your life and follow him.
And like you said, Dave, you don't have to be perfect. We're all struggling. We all have, you know, sins, whether, you know, you could have a sin of anger. Get behind a car and go drive on the highways and you know, it'll show you, you know, I don't know about you, Dave, but it'll show you what kind of sinner I am. You know, sometimes I say words I shouldn't say or get mad, you know, whatever. But, you know, God's going to, you know, he's going to mold you. He's going to be our potter. We're going to be the clay, and he's going to slowly change us, right? Like you say, you don't have to be perfect. Just run to him, just like the prodigal son. Run to him, and he'll accept you with open arms. Hey, Dave, I wanted to, because you were mentioning about how people reject Jesus, and another verse I want to read is from Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Dave? O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Well, it's just another one where Jesus is, you know, saying, he mourns over those who just are not willing to come to him.
Yeah, I mean, just the tenderness of heart of God when he could be like, you know what? I've created people. I give them great things, tell them to follow me, and everything will be better for their lives. But they keep rejecting me over and over again. You know, he could have said, you know, I've had enough of this. But he doesn't. And that alone show you his love. You know, if I created a computer and every time I try to use it, it's Johnny viruses and scrambled, though. You know, I'm the reason that this computer exists, and every time I try to use it, it does the opposite of what I tell it to do. After a while, I'm going to throw it in the dump. But God with people,
yeah,
different. It's not just I created you, and you're just something I created. It's not how it is. It's me with a computer. If a computer is junk, I'll toss it in the trash. But with God and people, it's a relationship. People are created special in his image. People have dignity, created with dignity, and they are special because God designed them that way. God made them worthy of love and worthy of respect, and because God made us in his image, and he made us in a way where we could have a relationship with him. And that's our purpose, to glorify God, to have a relationship with him, to worship him. And we fail in that purpose time and time again. yet he still loves us and is still patient with us. And Jesus is talking to Jerusalem there and being sad for them. And that's in spite of the fact of what the people there are going to want to do to him, you know? So
yeah,
it's an amazing love.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but when people plot to stab us in the back, or they do stab us in the back, normally we're not, you know, our first thought's not normally to be sad for them, because we know that they're not living how the Lord would want them to live. And we know that they're missing out on blessings because of that, and missing out on great things with the Lord because of that. Normally we're flamed out because of how they treated us. And you see Jesus there is concerned for them and their welfare. And he loves us, and that's why he wept, because he loved you know, those he spent time with and was friends with, and cared about their pain and cares about our eternity. So it's a cool thing. He's, you know, we learn a lot from how to love people by through Jesus, and we need to take the focus off ourselves and putting on loving God and loving others, and then we could better be like him.
Yeah. I know we can never be like him, but like you say, our goal should, you know, always try to be like Jesus. Well, how about when Jesus was on the cross, when he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And here he is. He's got spikes in his hands and his feet. He's, you know, he's been brutally beaten. He's, you know, bleeding to death, and here he's forgiving them, for they know not what they do. That's love. That's almost hard to comprehend, Dave.
Yeah, and then we're to model our behavior after his. And like you said, we certainly can do. We're sinful. Obviously, he's perfect. We're sinful. But through the Holy Spirit, he gives us the ability to more and more love like he loves, to forgive like he loves, and to serve like he serves. And, you know, we should love people like he does. And when they're sad, we're sad for them and mourn with them. And when people are rejecting the Lord, you know, like Jesus was saying, Jerusalem, you keep rejecting God. He keeps sending people to tell you the truth, and you keep, you know, pushing them away and even killing the prophets and all these terrible things. And it's not, and say, "I'm so mad at you." Like, a lot of times Christians will get angry at non-believers because they won't believe. But you see what Jesus does is he mourns for them because he desires good things for them and he loves them. And that should be our heart, is to desire that they believe and be sad that they don't. But, you know, at the same time, we have to, you know, seek, share the truth with all of society, and so that, you know, there's a witness to the ways of Jesus in the world. So,
yeah. And I always think about where it says when one person comes to faith that the angels celebrate in heaven. You know, so just one person comes to faith, there's a celebration in heaven going on. Well, that's how important it is to, you know, to Jesus and you know, all the folks in heaven, you know, they celebrate. I mean, isn't it a miracle, Dave, when someone's eyes are open, right? They were blind, now they see. They were lost, and now they're found. Isn't that a miracle? And when that miracle happens, they celebrate in heaven, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, if you break it down to the far levels, you know, when people are slaves to sin, you know, they're doing the work of the devil, you know, and just by the fact that they're going against God's will by rejecting Jesus, you know, they haven't been able to see the light. They're trapped in a pattern of behaviors and rejection of God that leads to hell. And that's that. God died on the cross and rose again to defeat the power of Satan and death. And when people reject Jesus, they're choosing to deny that power. You know, they're saying, I don't believe it. But it's true. Jesus did die and rise again for our sins. And like you said, it's a miracle when people believe, because God, the Father, draws people to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and opens our eyes to believe. So it's a miracle, and it's an awesome thing.
Yeah, I always go back to one of my favorite verses, David's 1 Corinthians chapter 1:18, where it says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved, it's the power of God. And you know, to hear that story and when you're blind, it seems like, what kind of foolishness are you trying to, you know, talk me into? I don't believe those kind of stories, those fairy tales. I've heard people say that it's a fairy tale, you know, about, you know, the death on the cross and salvation. To them, it's nonsense. And so I always cling to that verse. That verse just gives me strength.
Yeah. Romans 1:1-6, I'm unashamed of the gospel. Mm. The power of God to save.
Yeah.
Some people are ashamed because the world thinks it sounds crazy that, and to them it sounds crazy, because why would they say, why would God die? How does that make any sense that God would die a painful death on a cross? And your topic of kind of tonight kind of explains why, because he loves us so much, and he wants us to free us from sin and death and eternity away from God. He wanted to set us free. And this Sunday we celebrate Palm Sunday, and the triumphal entrance of the King. You know, all praise to the King who came in the line of David. And but he didn't come to conquer Rome. He came to conquer sin and death. And how awesome is that? And but since he didn't come to conquer Rome, and because people rejected him, you know, Good Friday comes around and they kill him on a cross. But on Easter, you know, we shout out, he is risen, because he rises from the dead, victorious over sin and death. And all those who loved him were crying when he died. But he rose again, and they were shocked and excited and probably a little bit scared of all the, because, you know, it's not something that happens every day, right? But they're pretty excited and scared and overjoyed, and probably just a full stream of emotions to know that all the things that Jesus said about himself are true. He really is the Son of God. You know, he really is the promised Messiah. And it's even better than coming to beat up the Romans. He came to beat sin and death so that people could have eternal life with God and, you know, focus on the eternal kingdom, you know, because that's where we're going to spend our eternity. And we should desire to have our neighbors there with us.
Yeah. I heard a pastor talking the other day on the internet, and he goes that the good Lord was talking to him, and he said, you're spending too much time focusing on end times. And he says, what I want you to focus on is eternity. So even the Lord was talking to him and saying, you know, end times will come when they come, you know, and you know the signs. But what he was telling this pastor, he says, focus on my people and eternity. That's what you need to focus on, you know. And so I think, like, people can get caught up in you know, the end times and when Jesus returning. Well, be ready when he returns, right? And not just be obsessed about when he returns, right?
Yeah. I mean, all of the Bible is good for studying and seeking the truth of it. And Revelation certainly takes a lot of work and prayer to try to discern what God is trying to say, and you know, it's definitely some hard things to figure out for sure. But, you know, obviously God wants to pray through that and seek his truth about that. But like you said, you know, it's God's, if you read through Paul's writings and what Jesus says, you know, Jesus talks a lot about hell, and certainly want to be warning people to repent of their sins and turn to Jesus, because there is a time when the end times are coming. But like you said, in the meantime, you know, make sure not to get too obsessed with any certain part of the Bible, but teaching the whole thing, the whole counsel of God, you know, pretty much what he tells us is to go out and tell people to repent of their sins and believe Jesus died for them and rose again, and share the good news. Sure, it's like the old time newspapers, hear ye, kind of going around sharing some big news, trying to sell some newspapers. That's basically what our job is to share the good news that, you know, God loves you, Jesus loves you, he died for your sins and rose again. You know, here's some proof that he loves you. You know, when his friend dies, he weeps, even though he knows he's going to rise him back up, right? So, you know, he knows the sadness of that humans feel, and he cares about it. And you know how much he loves you that he's willing to die for you. No greater love than this, and you give up your life for your friends, right?
Yeah. When Jesus say, I've come so that you'd have life and have a more abundant life. And that life doesn't end here on earth, right? Even we weep over our loved ones because, you know, we love them and we're going to miss them. But Jesus says, I've come that you have a more abundant life, and that life is eternal. It continues from this earth when we die to, you know, to heaven and to eternity. And like you always talked about, how's your description of this life on earth? Just a little spot,
scrambled.
Like a scrambled. But you mentioned how it's just a little piece of the rope. If this rope was 3 million miles long, all it would be was like one little piece of red tape on the rope. Is our life on earth, and eternity is forever. And you know, people need to repent, right? And come to the Lord in faith, because this life is short. It's like a vapor, and then eternity is forever. And, you know, you want to spend it with a loving God, right? And not spend eternity in hell and be with Satan and his minions and misery. So today is a day of salvation, huh, Dave?
Yeah. I think about a relationship ruined by pride, you know? Well, what you did to me was wrong, or what I, you know, another person says, what you did to me was wrong, or people say, well, I want to do it my way. And other people say, I want to do it my way. I think people get into that, try to get into that argument with God, where God says, my way is the best way, and my way leads to eternal life. You know, I send Jesus to die for your sins, so that's the only way. Don't debate him. You know, God doesn't want us to debate him on that. He did it out of love for us and wants us to believe it, believe that he loves us and believe that he knows the best way for us. But some people want to say, well, I don't want to go to church, even though, you know, we're adopted into his family and adopted into the church to serve him. Jesus loves the church. So if you're going to believe in him, you have to be part of his church and serve him through his church, because, you know, that's how he's building his kingdom on the earth, through the church. And so people want to argue, well, I don't want to go to church, I don't want to obey, you know, I disagree with these things the Bible says. Yeah. There's only one God, and we're not it, you know. And so part of admitting our sins and turning away from them is admitting, God, you're God, I'm not. I'm a sinner, and you're perfect. You know what's best. You're in control. And I give you my life. To be so, we don't want to be so prideful that we miss out on eternity with God and miss out on a beautiful, loving relationship with God that lasts forever, because we're holding on to our pride and thinking we know better than God. Well, this is what people say about God and the Bible and that stuff, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, we try to, which, we try to get things our way or try to do things our way. And a lot of people sadly are going to miss out on eternity because of that attitude. And I pray that any listeners out there are struggling with that. You know, I struggle with that. You struggle with that. But once you give your life to Jesus, there's so much more peace. And you do learn over time that God's way is the best way.
Yeah. And he has sent us a counselor, Dave, right? We have the Holy Spirit, right? And we have his word. So we need to, you know, get into his word, read his word, seek the Holy Spirit to move us, you know, that we would live lives a life pleasing, you know, following him. And so it's not like we're empty-handed. And like you say, though, it is important. The church is important. That we, you know, we don't have, you know, prideful hearts. That's a great prayer, Dave, where we pray that God take away our pride, give us a heart that would want to follow you. I heard a pastor say the other day. He says the freest Christian is one that is a slave to the perfect master. And I said, wow, that's a mouthful in a way, but it makes so much sense that we just want to, you know, live a life that we would want to serve Jesus, our perfect master.
Yeah, because if we're trying to do things our way and we're not in control, we're just going to be trying to butt heads with God. There's no peace in that. If you give him your life and just say, you know, I'm your servant, I'll do whatever you say, even though you take on the role of a servant, you know, but Jesus, you know, showed us how to serve and love others, and we're to follow that example. And there's peace in it because, you know, the world tells you you gotta be the boss, you gotta be in control, you gotta be the one telling other people what to do. God says the opposite: love people, care about people, serve people, weep with people, and put other people first and put God first. And you know, it's like opposite day of what the world tells you, but when you do it, you do find that peace, like that pastor said.
Amen.
All right. Well, I think you gotta close on the show, huh?
Yeah, it's winding down. We got a little over 5 minutes to go. So, yeah, I'll kind of wrap it up here. Dave, it's been a good show. We've talked about a good subject today, knowing that, you know, Jesus, you know, he loves us so much. He even weeps. He weeps over his people. That's how much he loves us. And Good Friday's coming up, and Easter Sunday, it's time to give thanks. And if you haven't given your, you know, given your heart to Jesus, what a better time than this Easter weekend coming up. Amen.
Oh yeah, we got Palm Sunday, and then we got Good Friday, and then Easter. It's a great time to celebrate what Jesus has done for us, for sure. And I pray for anyone out there that hasn't believed yet, give your heart to Jesus, and just you'll see how much he loves you. It's an amazing love that you've never experienced before. And all right, well, you have a good rest of your night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Dave, have a blessed Palm Sunday, and we will talk soon. Good night,
all
right, Dave.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, that was my son, Dave, my co-host. It was a nice show tonight, talking about how much Jesus loves us. He loves us so much that he weeps over us through those hard times. Let's close our show down, folks. I'm going to say a little prayer, and then we'll have the closing song. Dear Lord, thank you for tonight's show. Thank you for Dave and all the good words he has to say. And I just pray, Lord, for all the folks out there that you would draw their hearts closer to you. Let them know that Jesus loves them so much. He's there. He's standing right beside them and walking with them. And I just pray, Lord, that you would strengthen their faith. And for those that haven't given their heart to the Lord, that let tonight be the night that they open their hearts, ask Jesus into their lives with repentant hearts, you know, sorry for their sins. Ask Jesus into their hearts and say, today is the day that they're going to follow Jesus. Today is the day that they're going to serve him. And I just pray blessings upon all the folks out there. And thank you for tuning in tonight.
And may God bless you and keep you. Good night, everybody.